Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Howard Blum, the author of the book about the case, where he really got in there, really investigated. He was recently on with Megyn Kelly, I believe, talking about this. And he had a very interesting theory. As we will go back over here to the unknown DNA from on the glove and on the railing. His theory was that maybe Koberger planted it. Maybe Koberger put it there to try and throw investigators off. It's an interesting theory, but again, if you're going to do that, why would you put it in such obscure places, like over here on the handrail and in a glove somewhere outside? I would think if you're trying to skew someone's investigation, you'd have it right there by the knife sheath or by the bodies or something where it would certainly be identified. I think you're kind of, you know, rolling the dice here that even that DNA was going to be found the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a level of intrigue to that theory. And keep in mind, Brian Koberger was a PhD student in criminology. And so he kind of has some unique insights that not, you know, your normal student would have. That being said, if he was such a criminal mastermind, why did he botch his alibi so terribly? And you know, there are just other missteps that I think a criminal mastermind would not have made. And so, you know, interesting to consider.
It is. It is. And you make a lot of good points there. If he is the criminal mastermind, thought far enough ahead to go, I'm going to throw people off the trail with somebody else's blood. I'm not quite sure where you go get somebody else's blood, quite honestly, that easily to go, I'm going to put this on a rail. I'm going to put this on a glove. Two people's blood. I mean, I suppose you could figure out a way somehow. I don't know what that would be, and I'm not going to contemplate it really any more than this. But it would be quite a stretch to go that far. And if you're going to go that far, you're exactly right. Your alibi is simply you like looking at the stars, or is that more so a reaction to the fact that he got caught? Because he seemed very shocked that he got caught initially. Looked like the deer in the headlights. One of the first things he said was there anybody else? Or something, I'm paraphrasing to that nature. But that's what I'm wondering about. Did he think so closely about all this that he thought if it was him, that it was the perfect crime, and he completely just overlooked the fact that maybe somebody will look at you and ask for an alibi?
You know, it wouldn't be unprecedented for someone who is of reasonably high intelligence, who's engaging in crimes like this, and just thinks they're it, man, and they're not going to get caught. They're going to get away with this. And we saw in some of the body cam footage when Koberger was driving across the country after this happened with his dad, and they got pulled over. In some of that footage, he totally looks like a deer in headlights. He looks like, oh my God, is this going to be the time when they arrest me for what they think I've done? And so would not be surprising for a criminal to believe that they are so above the law and have done everything right that they won't get caught. And then lo and behold, here we are. I've got to scramble to come up with an alibi.
It makes me wonder. I wish we had other videos of Koberger in life to compare to, because I do wonder a little bit. Koberger presents himself as kind of an odd duck, to put it lightly. That makes me wonder, though, is he like that no matter what? If you just caught him like walking down the hall of the university, is he going to have that same kind of weird look on his face? Like, you caught me doing something, even if he really didn't do anything?
Yeah, it's a fair point, because, you know, we only have like one point of reference for him in terms of how he presents, and that's in court on this quadruple murder, and then some of the body cam info, whatever, footage. But it's significant to note that, like, different people present differently, and you know, and I've had a lot of cases where the government is like, oh, this dude's acting super suspicious and weird, while the guy is just kind of, like you said, an odd duck, and sometimes that might appear suspicious when it's truly not.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there. Let's talk about the mental health records that have now been handed over to prosecutors in the case of Ryan Koberger. Eric, where do you think this is going to go? What's the pros? What's the cons? Where do you think the prosecution is going to take the information that they're going to unearth in these medical records?
Interesting move, a risky move by defense, because defense, in turning over medical records, likely is waiving any kind of physician-patient privilege that he might have had. So not only could prosecution comb through those records, which they absolutely will, find little tidbits that appear incriminating and use against Koberger, but they could issue additional subpoenas to other medical providers, other doctors and therapists whom Koberger may have seen, and it could open up a huge can of worms for Koberger and give the prosecution gifts that they wouldn't have access to otherwise.
So when we're talking about medical records here, are these just specific ones from a specific point in his life, or are these like spanning all the way back to where we saw the allegations where he would have been online in his teen years talking about the visual snow and not having emotional connections to people and noticing that there was a big difference in his psyche from an early age?
So the medical records that were turned over were likely limited in scope, limited in time, that kind of thing. But the legal effect of turning those over could be a complete waiver of all physician-patient privilege. And so what that means is that the prosecution may be able to go into or at least seek records from years before and learn information about who those providers might have been, what health insurance might have been on board. They can get a health insurance ledger and determine what other providers Koberger has seen. So it really opens things up, and it's risky. I think defense is hoping there'll be some kind of sympathy or sense that there were mental health issues going on and the death penalty is therefore not appropriate.
Yeah, is this a longer move like this? Is this a longer play to more so save his life, not necessarily not prove his innocence in this case? Because if we do look at these records, we do know from reporting from, I believe it was Howard actually, with the dad that, you know, he's had trouble throughout his life, and there have been issues with him in the past. That is out there. As far as what sort of treatment he got with mental health, obviously he was addicted to heroin for a while. All of these things, not necessarily making a murderer, but does it make a murderer when you put all the pieces together? And this is part of the recipe when you're looking at someone's mental health history to kind of go, yeah, they may have a propensity to possibly do something like this.
While it may contribute to this idea of making a murderer, it may also make him a poor candidate for the death penalty. And I'm just wondering, like you said, if that is kind of the long play that the defense is angling towards, because that can go a long way on the death penalty side. It can go a long way with jurors, with a judge. You know, mental health is really trending in the criminal justice system. And so I think it's probably defense signaling that, like, hey, if y'all go through the death penalty process, you're likely not going to be able to get it. So maybe let's consider something short of that.
Is this a move that may be out there prior to a trial, maybe for contemplating possibly some sort of a plea deal of some sort?
I think in reading between the lines, that could certainly be a message that's being transmitted. Is like, hey, you aren't going to do great at the death penalty phase because of this mental health stuff, or at least it really presents a risk for y'all, government. It's going to be super expensive, go through the death penalty. The death penalty is issued a lot less frequently now than it used to be. So read in between the lines and give us a life without parole offer, and maybe this whole thing goes away.
Do you think we're going to see anything like that? Do you think that there would be a concession here on the part of the Koberger camp, or is this going to go to trial no matter what?
You know, I think it has such public attention right now. I don't think either side has any interest in backing down. Is there room for some kind of compromise, like life without parole? I think there's always room for that. But as we get closer to trial, I think the prospects of that get lower and lower.
If true crime is your obsession, we've got you covered. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today for nonstop coverage, expert insights, and in-depth analysis.